Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. Now today I'm going to be preaching from a passage that I've been preaching on in the last few weeks, Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, if you'd like to turn in your Bibles and follow along. And I'm talking about this subject, the gospel of your salvation. The gospel of your salvation. And I started this last week, but I'm going to finish it up today concerning what is the gospel that I claim to have been saved under. That's really what we're dealing with here. In Ephesians chapter 1, begin in verse 13, it speaks of those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now understand now that trusting in Christ is not just simply trusting in some elusive idea of Jesus Christ. You say, well, we all believe in Jesus. There are counterfeit Christ. The Bible teaches that. Am I trusting in the true Christ? The word Christ means Messiah, the salvation of His people. And Christ, the true Christ, is identified and distinguished in the Bible, in this book. So if my ideas, for example, I mentioned last week that Christ in His person is both God and man without sin. He's God-man. Now, if I trust Christ who is not God, then I'm trusting a false Christ. Or if I'm trusting Christ who is not man without sin, then I'm trusting a false Christ. You understand that, you see. Paul dealt with that, for example, in passages like 2 Corinthians 11, where he talked about those who come preaching another Jesus by another spirit. The Lord Himself spoke of that in the last days. They'll come saying, here's Christ and there's Christ. We preach Christ. Well, do you? Well, I have to test it by the Word of God if you're preaching the true Christ. So it concerns the person of Christ. And that's what the gospel is. If you preach a false Christ, you preach another gospel, a false gospel. And then secondly, the gospel, the good news of salvation, concerns the finished. Now mark this down and study it. It concerns the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the gospel is not any declaration of God's intentions to save, or His attempts, rather, to save people if people will let Him. That's not what the gospel is. The gospel is a revelation of the righteousness of God. Now let's read in Ephesians chapter 1. He talks about those who trust in Christ, verse 13, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. That's the word of truth that he's talking about. The good news of how God saves sinners by His grace, through the shed blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God. We read that last week over in Romans 1:16 and 17, how the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and the Greek also. Verse 17 of Romans 1 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just or the justified shall live by faith. What is that righteousness of God? It's the righteousness of Christ, who is God in human flesh. It's the merits of His obedience unto death, as He is the surety and the substitute of His people, when under the wrath of His Father, the wrath of God on the cross. Remember, he cried out, "Why, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" What a thought. God forsaking God. Well, what is that? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ went under his Father's wrath, the wrath of God, justly, based on the sins of his people, God's elect, his sheep, his church, his brethren, imputed, charged, accounted to him. He was made guilty, not because he was a sinner or became a sinner or was made a sinner. He became guilty because he took the debt that his people owed to God's law and justice and said, "Put it on my account." He took it to himself. He did it willingly because of the love of his Father and the love of his people, and the glory of his Father and the salvation of his people. That's substitution. Christ was made sin, literally. How? By God the Father imputing, charging, accounting, reckoning the sins of his elect to Christ. And Christ went under the wrath of God and he suffered. He bled. He died. He was buried. But he didn't stay in the grave, did he? Oh, no. You see, in his death, there was a satisfaction to the justice of God, a righteousness established that demanded that he come out of the grave. And so he was declared to be the Son of God by the Holy Spirit in the resurrection of the dead. Why did he die? Because of sin imputed to him to redeem his people from their sins, to pay their debt to God's law and justice. Why was he resurrected? Because righteousness was established. That's the finished work of Christ. Remember on the cross, John 19:30, he said, "It is finished." Salvation is based on a finished work. And that's the work of Christ. It's not the work of you or me. We don't finish his work by our believing. He finished it, and all for whom he finished it will believe. They'll seek the Lord. They will believe. That's why you're commanded, and I'm commanded to seek the Lord and to believe the gospel. Because everyone whom he died for will do so, and they will be saved. Well, look here. He says, in whom you trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That sealing has to do with an identification, and the people of God are identified as they are sinners saved by grace, identified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and repentance of dead works. Paul dealt with that in the book of Galatians here, just one page back. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, listen to this. He said, "But God forbid that I should glory." Now, the glory there means to boast. It means to have confidence in something. And he says, "But God forbid that I should glory." This is Galatians 6:14. "But God forbid that I should glory, save or except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, the finished work of Christ, the God-man, the righteousness of God, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." In other words, because of this finished work of Christ in which I glory and have confidence in and boast in, I boast in Christ and what he accomplished. Then I look upon the world, the unbelieving world, as being cursed. But the world looks upon me that way too. But look at verse 15 of Galatians 6. He says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature or a new creation." In other words, physical circumcision has absolutely nothing to do with salvation. Nothing. Now, we could say the same thing today about, for example, water baptism. We could say it about anything that we do. It avails nothing. You cannot be saved by being baptized You cannot, that is in water, the ordinance of baptism. We're, you know, spiritually, all believers are baptized into Christ. You cannot be saved by going to church. You cannot be saved by giving your tithe. You cannot be saved by doing good works. Salvation is by grace. Those things avail nothing. But here's what matters, a new creature, a new creation. Now, what is that? Well, and we'll come back here in just a minute, but this is what he's talking about in Ephesians chapter 1. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, verse 14 of Ephesians 1, which is the earnest, the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of His glory. Now, what he's talking about there is the new birth under the preaching of the gospel of your salvation. You see, the new birth does not, now listen to him, the new birth does not come under the preaching of a false gospel. You see, the Holy Spirit, who is the sovereign agent of the new birth, born again by the Spirit, you must be born again. The new birth, which the Holy Spirit, who is the sovereign agent of the new birth, is the Spirit of truth. Not a lie. And I know a lot of preachers and a lot of people, they believe, well, he can work around all the lies and get to... No, he uses the truth, the gospel of your salvation. If the gospel you claim to have been saved under was or is a false gospel, then you're just lying to yourself. Now, I know that makes a lot of people mad. And I'm sorry, that's just what the Word says. The Bible says the gospel, the one true gospel, concerning the person and finished work of Christ, the righteousness of God, His righteousness imputed, His shed blood as the finished work, His death, burial, and resurrection, that's what that means, all right? That the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, not a false gospel. False God, that's what Christ meant in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, when he talks about an evil tree cannot produce good fruit. He's talking about false gospels there. He's not talking about the fruit of the Spirit, which comes in later, comes in believers. He's talking about those who preach and lead sinners on the broad road that lead to destruction, as opposed to true preachers who point sinners to the narrow way that leads to life. That's Christ. If I point you to yourself, to your will, to your works, you see, to your goodness for salvation, I'm leading you on the way of death. And that evil tree cannot produce good fruit. You see, it's only under the preaching of the gospel. And so the Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance. In other words, the work of the Spirit in us as evidenced by the gospel and believing the gospel, you see, until we're finally glorified. Now, I want you to go back up to Galatians chapter 6. It's just right up the page there in most Bibles. And remember there, Paul said in verse 14, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't boast in anything but Christ crucified and risen from the dead. I don't boast in my experience. I don't brag or have confidence in my confessions, in my works. I boast, I have confidence, I look to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And he says in verse 16 of Galatians 6, now listen to this, and as many as walk according to this rule, this doctrine, this gospel, what rule? God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of Christ. He said, if you walk according to that rule, if that's your gospel, peace be on them and mercy. And upon the Israel of God. That's spiritual Israel. That's the church. That's those who have been circumcised in heart and ears. Those who have been Remember Paul wrote in Romans 2:20, he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart and not of the flesh. That's the new birth. How do you know you've been born again? Well, what is the gospel of your salvation? Now let's go back to Ephesians 1. In verse 15, he says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints, faith in Christ, and that Christian love that binds believers together in the truth. You see, that's the love unto all the, that's godly love. That's that, everybody knows that Greek word, agape. Well, that's that agape love. It's Christian love. It's not love of feeling. It's not love of personality. It's not love of social likes and dislikes. It's not even love of earthly family. We have those kinds of love. But this is the love that nobody has until they're born again. And it binds people together on one ground and one basis, and that's the truth. Now, we hope they all get along and they like each other and all that. But listen to me. That's not what this love is. This is love that binds us together in the truth. And he says in verse 16, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. God's wisdom comes by revelation, that is revealed truth in the gospel, that gives you knowledge of God, how he can be both a just God and a Savior. How he can justify the ungodly. And how can he do that? Through the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified and risen again. Based on his righteousness imputed. And he says in verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. See, there's those spiritual eyes. I mentioned that last week. We fell in Adam. The Bible talks about how we're ruined by the fall. We fell in Adam. And we're born dead in trespasses and sins, spiritually dead, not physically, but spiritually. We don't have spiritual eyes to see the things of God the way we ought to see them and hear them the way we ought to hear them in faith. And so having been ruined by the fall, we must be redeemed by the blood. If I'm going to be saved, I have to be redeemed, not by my works or my efforts or my believing, but I'm redeemed by the blood. You see, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. That's the blood. That's the righteousness of Christ. His blood shed for the payment of my sins and his righteousness imputed to me. That justifies me before God and brings me to life and saving faith. And having been redeemed by the blood, if I was redeemed at the cross, then I will be regenerated by the Spirit. And that's what he's talking about here. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that starts out in the new birth when we're brought under the gospel and brought to faith in Christ, where the righteousness of God is revealed to us. That's Christ, the God-man, and his finished work. And we're continually having our eyes, the believers, eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, what is the hope of his calling? Well, it's the hope of all of salvation, all of forgiveness, all justification, all sanctification, all glory based upon the glorious person and finished work of Christ. His glory, my salvation. Depends not upon who I am. I'm a sinner. I deserve nothing but death and condemnation. That's all I deserve, even at my best. My salvation doesn't depend upon who I am or what I do. It depends upon who he is and what he did. That's what it's taught. That's the hope of my calling. That's the calling of the gospel of my salvation. And that's how he calls the elect. You know, people say, well, you believe in the elect. Well, I do, because the Bible says it. But all of his elect people are going to be called under the preaching of the gospel. Now you hear it and listen to it. Seek it. Strive to enter in. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the only way you're going to call upon the name of the Lord for salvation is under the gospel, the true gospel. Well, look at verse 19 of Ephesians 1. He said, we know the hope of his calling. We know the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And we know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. You see, this is all about God's power. Not about our power. It's all about God's goodness. Not about our goodness. We have none. It's all about God's grace and mercy in Christ. And this power, verse 20, which he wrought or worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. That's the called out ones. That's what the word church means. You've heard of the book of Ecclesiastes. That means the congregation, the called out ones. The church, that's his bride. That's his elect. They are those who were ruined by the fall, redeemed by the blood, and will be regenerated, have been and will be regenerated by the Spirit. And verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, you know what that's saying? This is an amazing thing. That's saying that the very same power by which Christ was raised from the dead is the same power by which dead sinners are regenerated and raised from the dead. You know what that's what the new birth is? The new birth is literally a resurrection from the dead. Now, how do you know that? Well, look at verse 1 of chapter 2. Now, I'm gonna go into this chapter next week. But just read this verse. Verse 1 of Ephesians 2, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Now that quickening is the power of the Holy Spirit in what is called regeneration, the giving of spiritual life. It's what Christ was talking about to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 when he says, you must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. You may hear about it, you may read about it, but you won't really see the glory of it, the beauty of it, the joy of it, apart from the resurrection power of Christ by the Holy Spirit in the new birth. You've got to be quickened. Now, I know there have been books written on how to be born again and all that. Those books should have never been written. There is no manual given on how to be born again. That's what Christ told Nicodemus. He said, the Spirit listeth where it will, and you don't know where it comes from, where it's going. All you do is you know by its effects. And somebody says, well, if I can't get a manual on how to be born again, then why do it? Let me tell you something. Here's what the command of God to you and me and all who hear His word is. Seek the Lord. You seek the Lord. You've got no other hope. I've got no other hope except for the gospel of my salvation. How can God, for example, you think about this. How can a holy and just and righteous God be true to himself, his justice, and he has to be, and still save and accept and bless a sinner like me? How can he do that and not be an abomination to himself? God must be just. He must do what is right. It's right because he does it. In order for God to save a sinner, he will not suspend or ignore or deny his justice, his holiness, his truth, his righteousness. That's the question of questions. The gospel of my salvation must answer that question. How can God do that? Well, there's not but one way. Romans 5:21 says it, as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. It is through the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of God, because he is God in human flesh. He kept the law. He suffered unto death, the obedience unto death, in order to satisfy God's justice for his church, his people, the saints. And he brought forth an everlasting, perfect righteousness by his obedience unto death, his blood, in order to justify them before God. God is just to save me, to look at me as not guilty, not pretending now, not some kind of a fake legal issue. This is real. This is a real legal issue. God looks at me as being not guilty and righteous in his sight, not in myself and not based upon my works, but as I stand in Christ. That's what he does. And as a result of that, he sends forth his Spirit to bring his people under the preaching of the gospel to seek him and to find him. He gives them life, life from the dead. And that all happens under the gospel of their salvation, not under a false gospel. Lies will not save you. Only the truth shall make you free. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.